Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have in our town, and actually it's in, I would venture to say, in most every town in America, but we have these little things on the side of the road that says something about speed limit. And those road signs are kind of important because it lets us know what's expected. Not only what's expected of us, but we also know what society wants us to do. I was reminded of those signs yesterday when I picked up my motorcycle, and as I am carefully maneuvering down the roads, because it's been about 4 months since I've ridden, that is until I got to R Street going home, and then I must confess all bets were off. The road was clear, there was no one around, and so I just had to see what she could do after 4 months, and she did just fine. But suffice to say, we have these signs that let us know what society expects from us. There's no mystery about it whatsoever. And that's similar to when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's important for us to know what God's will is. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about what is God's will. We're going to also talk about the one who is always opposing God's will. And then finally, we're going to talk about the one person who did accomplish God's will perfectly. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we don't pray that thinking that God's will isn't going to be done unless we pray, but we pray, as Luther would say, that God's will would be made known to us. And so that begs the question, what is God's will? Well, as you search the scriptures, you're going to find all kinds of things, all kinds of notions, but the primary will of God is that all people be saved. The primary will of God is that sinners be brought to faith in Jesus Christ. We can talk about a purpose-driven life, we can talk about a purpose-driven church, but none of that means not a darn thing unless the objective is that all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Take the Canaanite woman in the main gospel reading that I read. I really read two gospel readings, but the one from Matthew 15. This Canaanite woman was not a Jew, was not an Israelite. She, for all intents and purposes, was a half-breed. She was part pagan, part Jewish. We don't know how it was divided up, but here she is coming after Jesus, crying out to Jesus for her daughter, that her daughter would be saved. She is dying. Her daughter is severely oppressed or possessed by a demon, and she's crying out to Jesus that Jesus would step in and heal her. And so you recall the bantering back and forth. The disciples wanted her to go away, saying to Jesus, let's send her away. She keeps coming out after us. And then Jesus said, I was only sent to the lost people of Israel, the lost sheep of Israel. And yet that did not deter her one bit. She kept coming out after him, praying, begging, Lord, have mercy. Lord, save me. Save my daughter. And even when Jesus said that it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, that didn't even deter her. Even after really being called a dog, that didn't deter her one bit. And so the important thing for us to note is, despite the apparent resistance from our Lord, her faith was great because the object of her faith was Christ and his saving word. She knew that all Jesus had to do was speak. She knew that all Jesus had to do was give his word and her daughter would be healed. Her daughter would be saved. And this is very important for us in our life of prayer. especially as we pray this petition, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, our struggle that we have with sin is very constant in our life. The devil is trying to take things that appear to be a negative and trying to force us to dwell on those things, when what we need to always be mindful of is staying focused upon the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ and His Word. Not what's going on around us, not the apparent distractions, but on who Jesus is and what He promises to do. Because here's the key, my friends. God knows what we need. He knows what we need better than we know what we need. He has promised to supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. He has promised always to be there. Even before we pray, He knows exactly what we're going to pray for. And dare I say, He is even working the solution out even before we ask. I mean, this is what Jesus said in John 6, that this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You see, my friends, that's ultimately the goal, is to get us out of here alive. The goal for God is for every person to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth, and Jesus is going to raise them up on the last day. But there's always someone out there, there is one person out there who is constantly opposed to anything that has to do with this, and that is the devil. The devil, our sinful nature, that's constantly sticking its head out of the hole, trying to get us to fall back, the world, all of these things are deterrents, are things to keep our focus off of the object of our faith, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, Peter said this in 1 Peter 5, that we need to be sober, we need to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is roaming around, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for those whom he may devour. And then Peter says, we need to resist him, and we need to remain steadfast in faith. We resist him, we remain steadfast in faith. That is, we keep our focus upon the object of our faith, upon Jesus, who the Holy Spirit writes in the book of Hebrews, who is the author and the perfecter, or the author and the finisher of our faith. But you see, the devil wants to take our focus off of that object of our faith, and so he is going to do anything and everything to derail us. He is going to do anything and everything to get us to look elsewhere. There's a great tension that is here in this gospel reading with this Canaanite woman. Jesus said, I'm here only for the lost sheep of Israel, yet the woman did not let that deter her. She said, yes, Lord, that's true, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And likewise, you and me. God knows what we need. God knows what's happening in our life. And who do we look to? Where do we go to? Where do we turn when those trials and tribulations come up in our life? The devil would have us look elsewhere other than Jesus. The devil would have us go elsewhere other than the Word. And even worse yet, the devil would have us stay away from God's Word. Because the devil knows that the Word of God is powerful and effective. The devil knows that the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. And the devil knows that the troubles that we face in this life, Jesus can answer and will answer and does answer. And so what the devil does is he causes us to separate ourselves from God's saving Word. The devil convinces us that we're too busy, or we don't have time, or we're going to be away, or whatever the case might be. Just the same way he deceived Eve in the garden. He deceived Eve. He tricked her. Deception is a powerful tool in the devil's arsenal, and that's exactly what he does. He deceives us into convincing us that we don't need God's word, that God's word is just there. That's all fine, but it doesn't really do much. This Canaanite woman was not like that, though. She did not let that deter her at all. She knew that all Jesus had to do was speak. You see, God's will is for all people to be saved. And yet, sometimes we lose focus of that. I remember when Tanya and I were fixing to move here last summer, preparing to move here, the devil did all kinds of things to keep our focus off of what he was calling us to do. And one of the things that he went after Tanya and me, that I would suspect most of us are very vulnerable in, is he went after our finances. He went after our ability to pay the bills in a huge way, in a gigantic way. But God provided. He knew what we need, and he provided in an abundance, and in a very overly abundant way. The devil wanted us to look elsewhere, but thanks be to God, Jesus kept us and kept us close so that the one who opposes God's will could not prevail. And that's really the issue, is there is only one person who can defeat the devil. There is only one person who can stand up against the devil's opposition, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, and he is the only one who did God's will and did it perfectly. He came to do God's will. He came to do God's will perfectly, and he didn't let anything deter him along the way. He knew that God's will was for all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He knew that God's will was to get everybody out of here, off this earth alive, so they can be raised up on the last day. And Jesus knew that the only way for that to happen is for him to go to the cross to be the atoning sacrifice for your sin and my sin. And he did that, despite the temptation from the devil to take his eyes off the goal. He did that. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the gospel writer tells us, sweating droplets of blood. He was under such intense pressure. He even prayed, "Lord, if there's another way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, but thine," is what he prayed. "Thy will be done." As Jesus knew, God's will was for you to be saved. God's will, Jesus knew, was for you to be saved, for me to be saved, for the entire world to be saved. And he knew that the only way for that to come about was for Jesus to go to the cross. And so Jesus submitted to God's will and submitted to it perfectly. And he went to the cross, where he suffered and he bled and he died. But the best news of all is he didn't stay dead. He was raised up again to show us, to show you and me, that we too would be raised up on the last day. We just said so long to Barb Merrick this past Monday, and I mean it, so long. Farewell for now. What's interesting about Christians who die, Jesus was the first one to coin the phrase, and that is that they didn't die, but they fell asleep. Remember when Lazarus died? Jesus purposely was delayed in going to Lazarus, who was ill, and he waited 3-4 days after he was dead. And he tells his disciples, "Okay, time for us to go. Our brother Lazarus has fallen asleep. Let's go wake him up." And that's exactly what's going to happen to Barb. That's exactly what's going to happen to our loved ones. And that's exactly what's going to happen to everyone who is in the faith, who dies in the faith. They've merely fallen asleep, and Jesus is going to raise them up on the last day. That, my friends, is the will of God. And so when we prayed, "Dear Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are praying that God's word will have free course in our lives and in our society. We are praying that God's word will have free course in our schools and in our homes, that God's word would have free course in our churches, where it will be rightly taught in all of its purity, that all people can come to the knowledge of the truth and confess Jesus as Lord. So that is God's will for us, despite the one who is there to oppose us. And the only strength we have, the only strength that we need, is to look to the one who accomplished God's will perfectly. And that was Jesus. And that means he did that for you so that you could be saved. Amen? Amen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.